Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So here's the deal. This, the greatest thing about you right now, my friend, playing this, is that if you go to the mall in Tyson's Corner, there's a store that has like all these jerseys, like the Bel Air Academy one. They have a Mace Manhattan Center jersey and a Cameron Manhattan Center jersey.
You haven't bought them both?
Of course I have them. I'm not going to wear them. I'm going to frame them. They're pretty cool.
That's...
I have a room for that.
Yeah, that's a good get. What's your favorite jersey that you have?
Anthony Davis gave me. His rookie year he signed and gave me.
That's cool. That's really cool. When you were working down there?
Yeah. Like that dude, you talk about a basketball guy. Anthony Davis loves basketball. He just wants a new situation. But that, by far, of anything that I own sports memorabilia, his rookie year, it's signed like, you know, Anthony Davis 2012-2013 season.
That's cool. That's really cool. That's Chris Miles. I'm Craig Hoffman here on 106.7 The Fan. Chris, of course, part of the NBA coverage on NBA TV, part of the NBA coverage on NBC Sports Washington. We're lucky enough to have him contribute as a contributor here at 106.7 The Fan. And a good night to have him as well hosting this show with me, because the NBA draft lottery is tomorrow. It is one of the most important days the Wizards have had since, I think it was 2 years ago yesterday, which is when John Wall hit the shot. Against
it was
Boston.
Amazing. You know that play was called for Bradley Beal?
Really? I don't feel like I've done a postmortem on that one, which is weird. I was super into the Wizards at that point.
That night, we definitely went over it. And when we looked at the play, it was obvious that Brad was trying to get open, couldn't, and John sprinted to the ball.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's why the shot was so far away from the basket, because John improvised.
Did a good job. Quality improv actor, that John Wall. At least on that night. Can't believe that was already 2 years ago. How things have changed in the league. And
Paul
the
Pierce,
draft...
he called game. That was 4 years ago.
Yeah. Now he's saying crazy stuff on television because he's realized that's how you get more television time. Or you just sound like a dumb.
He's tripping.
He's saying just it's a curse at this point.
He's like the Drake curse. Yeah. On broadcasting. He says
you
that you're
Drake
like, we're
was
done.
Wearing a Sixer shorts yesterday to reverse his own curse.
I'm just glad he wasn't at the game.
I thought that was a funny bit. That's good self-awareness from Drake.
The last thing we needed was Drake, like, in the shot.
Yeah, running down as the ball's bouncing on the rim to go be in the Kawhi mob.
Oh, I would have been so mad.
So here's what I want to do. I want to run through some of the players that are essentially up for grabs tomorrow night, not named Zion Williamson. And really, I don't want to spend too long on Ja Morant, because I feel like people kind of, like, if you're into this, you know a little
he's
bit
19,
about Ja
he's
Morant.
He's 19, he's dope, he's a point guard, move on.
Yeah, he can do everything, he's got great vision, he can pass with either hand, he can finish, he's a sick dunker, he can shoot, he's great. Who's the next best player in this draft, in your opinion? And is that player in the same class as the top two, or is there a drop-off?
There's a drop-off. I think... No. Let me say this. I think the top three players are all three guys that you think, okay, these guys can end up being an all-star. And that's R.J. Barrett, Zion Williamson, and Ja Morant. If you draft those three players, I think you should look at them. You should have the faith that, okay, one of these guys are going to be an all-star on my team one day.
R.J. After Barrett that, terrifies me.
But, you know, that's the guy I'm not sure about. A lot of people love him.
Terrifies me.
He could be the best player in this draft. He could be.
Because what scares me about RJ Barrett
slow
is that he doesn't know who he is. And that is the thing that gets me fired if I'm a coach or a GM. And here's my rationale. I watched enough Duke games this year to watch him in key moments not realize that he was not the best player on the floor. And that he should have given the ball to Zion Williamson and gotten the hell out of the way. Not that he shouldn't have been ready for a pass, and not that I wouldn't trust him to take the shot if he got the pass on the kickout. But as everyone saw in the NCAA tournament where he dominates the ball down the stretch, and you're going, hey, guy, not your time.
the Russell lack Westbrook.
Of self, yes, exactly.
And you,
the lack of self-awareness scares the bejesus out of me about RJ Barrett, because he's good enough to be good and good enough to justify it sometimes, but not good enough that it's actually going to be like best player on a true contending team.
And I agree with that. Like, I'm not, that's my trepidation with him. But you know what this draft reminds me of after you get after those three guys? It could easily be like the 2011 draft or the 2013 draft.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember those drafts, but the best player in the 2013 draft was taken 15th overall.
I remember the 2013 draft. I did that one on the radio, and we practiced Giannis Antetokounmpo over and over and over before
the draft. Who was the
10th
pick in that draft?
10th draft.
I'll give you a clue. He hit a game winner on Sunday.
Oh, is it Kawhi?
Nope. The other game winner.
Oh, CJ. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
CJ McCollum was the 10th pick in that, and I'm saying this for a reason. When you look at the 2011 draft,
that was Kawhi's draft.
He was the same pick as Giannis, 15th.
That's crazy.
So you're talking about the two best players in the Eastern Conference were taken 15th overall in 2011 and 2013. Then you look at that same draft, 2011, Klay Thompson went 11th.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a theme here that in drafts like this where you're like, oh, I don't know who's the fourth best player. You know why you don't know? Because they have to work. They have to put in the work and get better. So they don't know. We don't know. We're not experts. So what has to happen in this draft, guys like DeAndre Hunter are valuable because he works hard. He's shown improvement. He's the right body type. So that's what you're drafting.
Right.
You're drafting a guy who you think has those attributes. And the reason why I say DeAndre Hunter in a sense, look at the UVA guys. Malcolm Brogdon was your rookie of the year. Right?
Yeah.
Joe Harris is...
He's done really well for
and
himself.
Even I covered that Mike Scott team. And I'm like, he's still in the league?
Yeah, Mike Scott's done really well for himself. He's been on a lot of winning teams.
He's better as a pro.
Yeah.
So I see that pedigree of Tony Bennett guys, and I think, oh, wait, this is what he does. Okay, I like Tony Bennett guys.
Yeah.
So if I'm in this draft, and I have a couple of players that I'm trying to figure it out, I'm going to go get me a Tony Bennett. You want to hear something else that's crazy? We all know the Kentucky blue chip guys, right? Anthony Davis, Carl Anthony Towns. And I started noticing something since maybe 2014, 2015. We could take a look at the guys that did not go extremely high. Like the Wizards have a 50% chance at 7th or 8th.
Mm-hmm.
2014 Kentucky guy was Julius Randle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a guy that took a while to develop.
Solid NBA player.
20-10 this year.
Devin Booker's incredible.
13th in 2015. That's what I mean.
Devin Booker, I just would like to remind people that Devin Booker scored 70 points in an NBA basketball game.
Yeah, he was taken 13th in 2015.
Yeah, Cal's real good at recruiting. So is there a Kentucky guy in this draft that you got your eye on?
Exactly. So there's a guy that I'm like, he's not on top of anybody's board. Keldon Johnson, 6'6", 19 years old. Outside shot is sweet. What do you need now in a league?
Shooting and length.
It would be hard if I'm the Wizards and I'm sitting there at 8 and I'm trying to figure it out. I'm looking at UVA guy, Kentucky guy, and I'm rolling the dice. But you know, if they end up in the top 4, that's not where this, you know, the guy I'm really afraid of the most is Cam Reddish. And we talked about this a little bit earlier, but I saw him drop 53 in a high school game and thought, this kid's amazing. I'm sold. He's a great player. But then I watch him in college and I go, okay. So I asked a couple people about him. His Team USA coach, lack of a motor. I got to convince him to play basketball. He was playing with Zion Williamson on Team USA, and Zion was running a point. You know what he said about Zion, the same coach? Oh, he grabs the rebound, and I tell the guards, run. You don't need the ball. Run.
Yeah, let him go. Do you know anything about Darius Garland, the point guard from Vandy?
No, and that's what happens at the combine, and from this point out, because you know what I didn't know? You know who I didn't know about at this point in the draft a few years ago? Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
Like, well, who's this kid?
Yeah, who's the Weber State cat?
Man, I remember his workout tape. And I'm telling you, I don't know if he missed 3 shots in the 5.5 minutes I watched him. And his athleticism. No one talks about how athletic Damian Lillard is.
He was in the dunk contest his rookie year.
Yeah. I mean,
sick.
Phenomenal.
So here's the reason I wanted to ask about Garland. real quick. And this will actually transition a little bit into what I want to do next, which is a postmortem on the Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, boy. Oh, I love this.
Fascinating basketball team to figure out moving forward.
Dumpster fire.
Vanderbilt wasn't good. So he reminds me of a, like, the same kind of profile in terms of team success of Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons played in an LSU team that wasn't any good. And they had a lot of different things going on at that point. But, like, if your whole, like, the phrase that now gets thrown around NBA circles, and Jeff Van Gundy is a big reason why, because he talks about this a lot on broadcast, and it's great, is how do you affect winning? And if you are so good that you are a top 4 to 10 prospect, which I've seen Garland as high as 4 in terms of prospects in this draft. I think Jonathan Givony from ESPN has him at 4. And you couldn't affect winning at Vanderbilt? How the hell am I going to expect you to affect winning in the NBA?
Well, Ben Simmons quit on his team at LSU. Don't forget that.
That's
just like he quit on
true.
That play against Kawhi. Okay?
Go watch the tape. He's not lying.
That's the thing with Ben Simmons is that at LSU, and there's a documentary about it. It's like no one watched it. It was on Showtime, and he's like, why do I have to go to class? I don't want to go to class. Dude, just show up to a classroom for 45 minutes for a couple of days, and then you're going to be a rich professional athlete. And if you didn't want to go, you could have stayed in Australia and proven your worth over there and skipped college.
Yep.
What is happening?
Yeah. So it's just something to keep in mind. Like, how do these players affect winning? That, to me, ultimately, that's the question when you're trying to figure out what
you're
doing.
You know how Kawhi Leonard does.
He hits buckets and plays defense and does everything else. That ended the season for the Philadelphia 76ers. We're going to take a 5-minute post-mortem dive into, to me, the most interesting team in basketball. That's Chris Miles and Craig Hoffman. We're talking a little hoops on the Fan. Good tweet from David, corrections department. I just forgot. He's talking about Darius Garland, the point guard from Vandy. The reason he didn't affect winning for Vanderbilt is because he got hurt after 5 games. Valid critique. Valid reason to not affect winning.
It's probably why we don't know who he is yet. Yeah, there
that's,
you go.
That's on me. That's my L. Not as big of an L as the Sixers took last night. Craig Hoffman, Chris Miles, overtime on the Fan. So when Kawhi Leonard's shot finally fell through, the Sixers season ended. And now a wild-ass summer, that's the technical term, wild-ass summer begins for them. And I think the common narrative, the easy narrative, is fire Brett Brown, their coach, and split up their two superstars, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons.
Oh, boy.
And I think the reasons why are pretty evident. They're easy to see. I'll put it that way. Embiid and Simmons offensively take up too much of the same space. They don't seem to fit together at all. We're multiple years of this now, and they can't figure out how to use them together. Part of that is on Brown, and in 3 huge possessions last night, the Sixers got 0 shots. That does not speak well of your coach, especially when at least one of them was coming out of a timeout. You can't shot clock violation out of a timeout with 3 minutes left in Game 7. And in the final 4 minutes of the game, your only points can't come from a Jimmy Butler hero play where he makes a great layup. However, I think there's a counter argument that I would like to get your opinion on. And then I know you have a ton of insight into Philly and covering the league like you do. But how good they are as a team starts for them not on offense. It starts on the defensive end. They're a really talented defensive team. Part of that is Embiid is terrific, arguably defensive player of the year. Simmons is actually, I think, a really good defender. Getting better, but in progressing, but his defensive potential is outrageous. He did a good job on Kawhi this series as far as good jobs on Kawhi can go. Kawhi's a superhuman. Like, there's only so much you can do. He at least made it difficult. He blocked a shot a couple times.
243 points.
I know. But he took a boatload of shots to get there. Jimmy Butler also did a good job. Fine. Obviously, Butler's a good defender. But also, I think Brett Brown is a good defensive coach. Like, he put J.J. Redick in spots where he could be at least effective as a team defender. You know, you try to not get your guys killed. And I think Brett Brown can do that. So I think that's the argument to keep it together and try to run it back. Thoughts?
Okay, let's start from the basis, because I was high on the Simmons and Embiid train last year.
Mm-hmm.
First thing I was told when the playoffs started last year, I don't like the pieces. They don't fit. It's like a triangle, and you got a circle, and you're trying to stick that triangle inside the circle. It doesn't work, right?
Square peg, round hole.
Yeah, I didn't want to use that one.
Okay,
but yes, that is exactly what it is.
All right, Phil Jackson with your triangle.
There you go. That's why I went that route. 11 rings, great book. So here's what happens, right?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That's the word. You know, okay, maybe that's true, maybe it's not. Lloyd Pierce, assistant coach there, mm-hmm. now the head coach for the Atlanta Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
We had him on the show, so I got to talk to him a little bit. And I said, hey, I got some questions for you. You know, do some radio stuff, some TV stuff. Can I use this if we have a conversation? Oh, yeah, absolutely. What you got? Okay. Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, you like it? You know, you had them. Do you like it? No. Why not? Well, Ben Simmons is a four. He's not a one. He occupies Joel's most effective space that's in the paint. Therefore, when we have them both on the floor, our offense is stagnant no matter who you put around the team. So they have to figure out, and he kept using the term we and correcting himself, are we building around Joel Embiid or are we building around Ben, because essentially they're in the same space. Now, if Ben could hit an 18-footer, a 15-footer, that would change things. But he won't take them.
And that's 100%.
I know
true.
That sounds simple.
Won't take them, I think, is more important than shouldn't or can't take them.
So
he will not shoot.
So here's the key to that. If you build a team around Ben Simmons, you can have a winning formula. He hustles. Like you said, he plays defense. He like led the league in loose balls and grabs offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds. The point is, though, not a lot of teams have a center like Joel Embiid. If you put Joel Embiid in the paint, he's giving you 30-20 games. But when you take him outside of the paint, he's not grabbing offensive rebounds. Then he's taking too many jumpers. Then he's risking his body when he goes plowing through to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're doing too much with him. And when you have Ben Simmons, you should be a running team. Joel Embiid is not running the floor. Doesn't fit. Doesn't work.
Yep.
And the fact that they took this team to a game seven shows just how talented they are individually and how talented Jimmy Butler is, who's trying to get that 191. I keep saying that number.
Yeah.
$191 million. That's what he's looking for.
Mm-hmm. And so that leads to them having a decision to make of who do they bring back? Do they make a big trade? Do they keep Brett Brown?
Brett Brown's an idiot for different reasons. For real. Like, people probe the Sixers for trades. You know who he said is off the market? TJ McConnell. You kidding me? Oh, no, we're not trading for, you know, we're not giving up TJ.
What? Well, then why didn't you play him in game seven?
What?
When your dudes were all dying.
You're willing to give up draft picks for TJ McConnell. You don't want to do that?
Yeah.
You bench Markelle Fultz, who essentially was a backup point guard for you, and trying to figure it out. And now he's got to get moved because you want to play TJ McConnell.
Yeah. So I think that's your answer, Brett Brown. See ya. Would you split?
Well, okay, not necessarily. For instance, if you split Joel Embiid mm-hmm. and Ben Simmons, I feel like you stuck with Brett Brown through the terrible years and you've had, what, back-to-back 50-win seasons? I think he's warranted enough to stay, but I think you need some
See, this
roster
is,
changes.
This is one of the things that drives me nuts in sports. You can't make decisions based purely on results. Like the fact that if Brett Brown wins game seven, so now we're talking about a ball potentially, I mean, we don't know what it would happen in overtime, but a ball bouncing in or out is how you're going to decide whether your coach keeps his job?
That's insane. That's how the ball bounces, baby.
That's insane. You need
but
to
no,
evaluate
that's what
the
I'm
decision
saying
to get of how you got there.
I don't like Brett Brown. But I think he's achieved enough with this group, and you had him there through the lean years.
So who would you I feel like the logical answer is Embiid. You'd move Simmons,
yes,
keep Embiid.
In a heartbeat.
What kind of player would it take for you to make that move? Like, what kind of asset has to come back for you to say, yep, I'm trading Ben Simmons?
Point guard that can shoot. I'm telling you right now, man, if the Philadelphia 76ers, and that's the other thing, Ben Simmons, it looks like a pick and roll play. It's not a pick and roll play. Go watch every time they run a pick and roll. If he doesn't dunk, it's garbage. So you need someone that when they run a pick and roll, that's why Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris had to become ball handlers on the team.
Right.
Right?
So I just had that NBA draft. Where's Memphis in the draft lottery?
Are you talking about Mike Conley?
Yep. But they're gonna have to attach a pick. You can't just do Mike Conley for Ben Simmons. Or would you?
If you're Philly. Because Mike Conley's old.
Right. And
if I'm Philly, I'm like, I need your draft pick. I need your top pick this year. I'll give you Ben Simmons. You throw Mike Conley because it's a lot of money you're taking back too.
Mm-hmm.
So for Philly, that draft pick is almost like the money you're taking back because you need a play to offset that. So you need a rookie salary to offset that. And a lottery pick, I'm like, listen, Memphis, I need your lottery pick. Ben Simmons is your lottery pick.
At that point,
does
Memphis do it?
Yeah, because they're trying to clear the cap space. They were trying to trade him at the trade deadline. I think that's a great deal for both teams.
Interesting.
I think it puts Mike Conley on a contender. I think Ben Simmons gets his team to run with. I think Jaren Jackson, he's an outside shooting big.
So you can pair him with Simmons.
You can pair him with Simmons.
Boom, we just solved the NBA. The whole thing.
No, you did it.
I did it.
You did it.
All right, so last year there was a team that the Wizards were getting compared to a lot in terms of which direction they could potentially go. Teams looking at similar decisions.
This is foul for you.
Well, let's just say that team went one direction. The Wizards have gone the other. What can the Blazers teach us about what Washington has to do moving forward? Continuing the Hoops Talk next on the Fan. A team with two talented guards seemed to be at a crossroads. They chose to stick with the plan. And then, well, it depends on whether you're talking about the Wizards or the Blazers. I'm Craig Hoffman. It's Chris Miles right there here on Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. And Chris, I remember last offseason doing shows and talking about even theoretical trades of Wall for Lillard. Like, who would say no? They both had massive contracts. Felt like Lillard's probably a little bit better, but maybe the Blazers would look at it and be like, well, Wall's big and pair with CJ, and he's still really good. And you're like, maybe. And then things went horribly wrong for Wall, and Lillard's the third best point guard in the NBA, and like that seems stupid in hindsight.
What's the major storyline surrounding Bradley Beal and John Wall most of the time?
Chemistry.
Right?
They don't get along.
Well, there was...
Or they don't play well together.
Okay.
Even.
They both play... Look at their numbers. They both play better when the other one's not there. It's true. Mm-hmm. That's just... Now, that is just a statistical fact.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to choose sides or talk. Look at Portland in that Game 7 and Damian Lillard, Logo Lillard, the game winner in the previous series, the meme all over Twitter and social media. He struggled.
He
struggled in round two. And when they needed someone to take big shots, what did he do? He said, you know what? It's not working for me. Here's CJ.
How many star players in this league would be truly okay and celebratory? Just okay, nevertheless celebratory.
Outside of LeBron James?
Of a teammate getting an ISO situation. And by the way, quick aside, 15-second aside. Thank you, Terry Stotts, for realizing that a pick and roll in a key situation is just bringing a second defender and that your dude can beat the guy in front of him. Thank you for calling the ISO for CJ McCollum there.
Here's the crazy thing. If we did a list of guys who would be happy and who have been in that situation, I'm going to go LeBron James 1. He took a lot of criticism and heat for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving him the number one spot there.
He probably still wants the ball in his hands, but...
He's giving it up.
He's in Miami, absolutely. If like Wade's there, yeah. Sure.
Steph Curry.
100%.
We know the big moments in the finals the last 2 years because Steph Curry's like, I'm going to defer. And then we got a reminder in case we forgot 33 second half points to close out those Houston Rockets.
Yeah. By the way, I actually think that Durant's on that list as well because he did it with Westbrook. And had he raised a stink, he probably could have gotten some more shots in those situations, which would have been better. But there are also times, even when he's been hot down the stretch, I've watched enough Warriors games to see this, that he will let he could be the one that bring you back. And it's like, all right, Steph, finish
him. It happened against the Rockets. The game they lost, I think it was game four,
uh-huh.
where he had 46. He scored 10 points in the start of fourth quarter, and it looked like Clay and Steph couldn't get going, and they were ice cold. They said, here. And then he got out of rhythm, and then they got out of rhythm, and they lost against the Rockets, but that was the case in point in which he did that.
Yep. And so, larger point, though, I think, in terms of spinning this forward, not to just go, oh, well, it's really sad that the keeping the guards together worked out for the Blazers and not for the Wizards, is what do you do now if you are Ted Leonsis?
Well, you wait for tomorrow night, the NBA draft lottery, and see if you get that number one overall
you watch
pick.
The Wizards on the clock on NBC Sports Washington, which you'll be, I got
Show
that.
Show starts at 7:30.
I got that.
But, okay, you do that first.
Right.
Then you get yourself a GM. And
but then what are the marching orders for that GM? Because the most significant change that you can make,
you know what the marching orders for the GM
flipping
is?
Flipping Bradley Beal.
This is the marching orders for the GM. Hey, we need someone that we can trust that's going to come in here and that we can take a step back and let you do your thing. That's what they need to bring in someone that they trust is going to bring in the right group of people that are going to make the best basketball decisions. And that guy is Tim Connelly.
The current GM of the Nuggets.
So Tim Connelly shares a lot of power in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, oh, he's a chip. That power is split. He makes a lot of decisions.
And he's splitting it with?
I can't say the dude's name. It's very European. Eastern
okay.
European.
Whose position is what?
Yeah.
Well, so, the guy, like executive
president,
VP.
President, yeah.
Okay.
You know how it gets convoluted like that?
Yeah, yeah.
So what I'm saying to you is, now, I was also told that it's Tim Connelly's job.
Which would make sense why they haven't hired someone yet.
Yeah. And the Nuggets, of course, lost on Sunday. So
maybe they'll have him.
These breadcrumbs have been laid out.
Sure. So, okay, so you're Tim Connelly and you come in. Is trading one of those guys on the table?
Here's,
or especially if you are Leonsis and you just saw the Blazers play this thing out and now they're in the conference finals, do you feel strengthened in your resolve to keep Wall and Beal together?
So I spoke to four GMs on this topic.
Okay.
And I'm going to try and find my quote and read it to you.
Okay.
It's
one of my favorite things.
So here's the deal.
Finally, I'm not the one sitting here with sources reading my phone.
So here's the deal. Quote, great ownership about D.C., the job here in D.C. Because the question I had for him was, okay, they're taking a long time with this process. Should the fan base be worried? He said, no. Great ownership, great market. I would not move Bradley Beal. I imagine that's the number one topic for anyone coming in for an interview. What's the plan for Beal?
Yeah.
So before that conversation, my thing was, okay, this situation is bad. You got to almost, if you want to do trust the process and go in, then you have to have multiple draft picks in this draft. You trade Beal to the Hawks, who clearly could use a shooting guard, who will have cap space. Clear Beal's contract off because Walls, you can't move.
Wall is the most untradeable player in the history of the league.
Nay. That was a thing. You get two more lottery picks because the Hawks have theirs and the Mavs, right? And you get, I don't know, 4 and 7 and yours. Let's say yours is 1. Okay. Then you draft 3 guys and you're rebuilding over and you're going to be bad next year. Boom. That's one strategy you could do. I don't think that's what they're doing here.
I don't think so either. I think Ted wants to keep trying to be competitive.
And no, that's definitively what he wants to do.
And I wonder if that is the right decision. Because if you're telling me I can get 1-4-7 or 2-4-7 or 3-4-7, that's really tempting.
But here's what I also think in this draft, and we talked about this earlier. I think if the Wizards end up with like the 7th pick, I think you try to trade down to 12 to 15 because I think you'll get the same value there.
And then pick up something else. Maybe. But the point is like, the hardest part about this for me is I don't want to trade Beal. If I could trade one, if I could trade John Wall, I'd trade him tomorrow. And that's not because I dislike John Wall. It's just he's on the wrong side of 30 for a player that's really relying on athleticism. He's coming off a torn Achilles, and good God, his contract
that's what I have.
Is awful.
I have a car with a bad engine that is like costs $50,000. You want it?
Right. It's just not going to happen.
Come on.
But Beal is 25, actually on a good contract. And, I mean, it's expensive, but it's what he's worth. And is awesome. And is also the best kind of guy. And I'm saying that Wall's not. Like, Wall's also
and
a good
let's
dude.
Not act like Wall wasn't a five-time All-Star.
Super
and
competitive.
Guy that made the big shots. Because you know what Brad hasn't been able to do?
Hit big shots. I will give you absolutely that. He's definitely been a part of their late game struggles, especially once John was gone. All right. Coming up next, we close out the show. I'm not really sure with what. Do we have anything? You got anything left on your notepad over there?
Yeah. Is it okay for a grown man to cry? How about that? Is there crying in basketball?
Good question. We'll answer it next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I hate you, PJ Elliott.
We can freestyle of this.
Go ahead.
No, we can't. I was like, can we? We'd have to take a second.
You've been waiting the whole show to do this, haven't you?
Absolutely. What is this from?
I don't know. It's his.
So I have like a music folder that I gave to PJ at some point. And I built it when I was working in Dallas. And I was producing and board hopping and doing all kinds of stuff on top of doing shows and updates. They made me do a lot of stuff and didn't pay me a lot of money there. But that's a different time in my life. And there's some traumatic memories coming back, so I'm just going to keep moving forward. At some point, that song found its way into the folder, presumably for a bit, because there's no way in hell I would have played it just for fun. Like, it had to be for some bit, for something. And as PJ, when he used to produce for me on Sunday mornings, weekly, was going through my music folder, he found that song, and now whenever he can catch me off guard and just make me laugh hysterically, he plays it. That's the story. What is it called?
Afrikaan Beat.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what it's called. Two A's.
Like, there's no way I found that. I must have heard it somewhere, like Shazammed it and been like, oh, this will be a wacky thing for a bit someday.
Shazam like the movie?
No, Shazam like the app that helps you recognize music. You don't know Shazam? PJ, you know what I'm talking about,
it's
right?
It's like a kid movie.
Yeah.
It's like a
comic. I beat Shazam all the time.
You work with Shazam at NBA TV.
Ah! I know my ding.
I know who you're talking about. But no, Shazam is an app that if you hold it up like and let it listen to music, it'll tell you what song
it's
playing.
Oh, I've seen people do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's called Shazam.
It's called Shazam.
Like ShamWow.
No, like Shazam.
Yeah.
ShamWow is a thing you wipe down a spill with. Didn't that guy die?
No, he went to jail for soliciting.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah, was and that beating up a hooker at the same time.
Whoa,
I believe that's what it was.
And that's why that song was playing just now. No. Because that was his theme song. No. Play that song again.
You can play it again, PJ.
Play the song. And tell us the story. What happened to him?
No. This tell song has nothing to do with
tell
beating
us the story.
Up.
No, say it again. What happened to him?
I believe the ShamWow guy got arrested for solicitation.
Yeah, Pee Wee Herman music.
No, this sounds like...
If you start typing ShamWow into Google, the first thing that comes up is ShamWow guy. The second thing that comes up is ShamWow commercial. The third thing is ShamWow meme. The fourth thing is ShamWow guy dead.
Is he dead?
I don't know. Let's search. Vince Offer is his name. He's still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's alive. He's
felony battery altercation with a 26-year-old prostitute. She said he bit his tongue and would not let go.
Did he play in the NFL?
No, he didn't play in the NFL.
Sounds like something that Kansas City Chiefs player would do.
I'm leaving that one alone?
Yep.
Just saying.
He was married... was Vince Offer, a.k.a. ShamWow guy. This is not where I thought the show would end. Was arrested in Miami Beach in 2009 for that altercation. He was married in 2014. So 5 years later, after that, he was married.
Could you imagine that sales pitch? He probably put on his music. It was like, hey, girl, don't Google me. Don't Google me, babe. I got bank.
Sometime in 2018, she might have Googled him because they got divorced.
He's definitely like a hairy dude with one of those.
Look at this picture. On
that looks like you in 20 years.
No.
It's exactly what it looks like.
All right, good doing the show.
You ever see those things when they
finish out this show?
When they age
time
people?
Is 55, 50.
Hey, people, if you're listening, Craig Hoffman, and what's this guy's name?
Nope, you're
Vince Offerman. Oh, it's like...
No, that's worse than you converting... What were you even talking about first?
What is happening with you?
Shazam into ShamWow. Next thing you know, we'll be teaching people the Sham God.
Wow. That's a good way to bring it home, back to another Harlem guy.
Yeah.
If you had to guess what his younger brother's name was, what would you guess? If they name one kid God, what's the other kid's name?
There's only trouble that I can get into answering.
It's got to be Jesus.
Nope. I played with him. Ajax. The kid's name, his brother's name is God, and he was named Ajax. We're like, cleaner? But I know Ajax is like some Greek god, but everyone knows the cleaning.
I guess. There's an old Robin Williams bit about the brother of Jesus, and he's like drunk in a bar. He's like, yeah, I'm Jerry Christ. It's a great Robin Williams bit.
That was, you just destroyed it.
I'm encouraging people to
go. Robin Williams is hilarious, and you're like, there's this great Robin Williams bit, Jerry Christ. Like, what?
PJ
what is
laughed.
Happening? He laughed at me laughing at you in a 20-year-aged version of you.
That song has ruined so many segments, and this is one of them.
That song is your life.
What was the thing that we teased that was good? Oh, should a grown man cry in basketball? Neither you or I have a problem with Joel Embiid crying.
I'm all about that life. You know what's better? I'd rather Joel Embiid crying than what Kyrie Irving did. I'm chilling. I'm going to go to Cali and chill. I'd rather have my guy sobbing tears because he can't believe he just lost a game 7.
When I watch sports, I want to feel like the people playing them care more than I do.
Yes.
And for as much as Joel Embiid plays, not plays basketball, like plays around, goofs off, has fun with it, which I also appreciate because these are grown men playing a child's game. He does care. He competes his ass off every single night. He never quits, which is different than giving max effort because sometimes he gets tired because he's an enormous human who expends a lot of energy. But ultimately, like, he cares and he tries as hard as he can. He needs to work on how hard he can try, conditioning. But he tries as hard as he can, and he gives it and he leaves it all out there. And I appreciate that a lot.
And I appreciate you. You tried as hard as you could. I just want to hear you.
There's a lot of obstacles that I had to overcome tonight. I can't fake cry.
You're
I'm not a method actor. I'm a freaking radio host.
that makes you a method actor.
No.
Your acting is if you're a radio host.
I am a radio host. This is authentic. Mm. I'm not out here spitting hot takes for entertainment purposes. Now, there are days I wonder if that would have been a better life for me, because I'd probably be way wealthier.
I think you got bank. That's what I think.
I think you should meet my bank account and keep telling it that, because it's not a thing.
Fill up banks, baby.
Tomorrow night, NBC Sports Washington, 7:30. Wizards on the clock. You can catch Chris Miles along with Ben Standing and Wes Hall, who joined us tonight. There, I'm Craig Hoffman. I will see you this weekend right back here on The Fan. Thanks for listening to Overtime.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.